Today's audio cast for Friday, June 29th, 2007 from AvWeb, the world's premier independent aviation news resource, is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. Well, it's finally here. Cirrus Design unveiled the mock-up of its seven-seat single-engine V-tail jet at its Duluth, Minnesota headquarters today. The aerodynamically sculptured design includes a variety of innovations that will definitely make it stand out on any ramp. AvWeb's Russ Niles was there and caught up with Alan Klapmeyer.
Big announcement in Duluth today about the jet that you've probably been working on most of your life. Is that a fair assumption?
No, actually, that's not accurate at all. It's only been about two-thirds of our lives. It's obviously been a long time, both the dream part of it, trying to figure out how we would get to this point, and more recently for the last several years working on the reality of it. How do we get this airplane to be something that customers can actually fly?
Born in a modest building in downtown Duluth in 2003, the first mock-up was begun?
Yeah. There's a number of different points that you can trace the history of this airplane back. The VK-30 was originally a five-seat airplane. We had talked to Williams International about putting a turbofan on it in 1989. We'd looked at it on the ST-50 in the mid-90s. In 2003, we finally got serious and said we got to build a mock-up of this airplane. The concept had changed a little bit. Mike Van Stoggen and some of the rest of the team had always been developing the ideas of how do we make it more like the SR-22, SR-20 family, easier to operate, but also large and comfortable. That airplane began in the mock-up form in a little rundown building in 2003. We felt that it was important for us to build a mock-up so we could accurately describe the concept to the board of directors. So rather than showing them drawings first, we built a mock-up.
Okay, fundamentals of the airplane. It sort of stands on four pillars, from what I can tell. Ease of operation, relatively modest cost, comfort, and advanced design.
That would be one good way to describe it, yes. I mean, we certainly think that the ease of operation is an essential part of the whole concept of a personal jet. How do we make it, as I normally say, easy enough for me? How do we make it so that a normal, average pilot can comfortably, easily get the kind of performance that turbofan aircraft would have? That's still relatively low performance compared to a business jet, but significantly better than the typical piston airplane. And the other part of that is flexibility and comfort. How do we just make this thing big and useful? So as you saw today, it's a pretty comfortable, pretty flexible interior.
I don't think anybody expected it to be able to seat seven people.
What we told everybody was that it would be more than four. So we were accurate. This is more than four. We also try not to describe it as a seven-seater. It's more of a five plus two. The jump seats in the back are more appropriate for smaller stature people, women, children. But it at least gives you the flexibility of having that choice when you have more people you need to put in the airplane.
The placement of the engine on top of the fuselage angled about 20 degrees. How did you arrive at that point?
As Mike Van Stoggen, who's in charge of the design, walked you through today, it was a very logical path that we looked at, beginning with our experience in the past of burying engines inside airframes with both the VK-30 and the ST-50, which has a number of compromises that include the structural complexity, how do you get the fasteners to carry the loads of the tail if you've got a hole big enough to actually put the engine in and out and work on it. Complexities of inlet design, how do you get the air smoothly to the front of face of the turbine. So after looking at a lot of those, we ruled out burying the engine inside the airframe. So now your choices are top or the bottom. On the bottom, you've got to worry about FOD and some other noise kinds of related issues. So fairly early on, we decided that the right place to put it was on top of the airplane. The next decision then is if the engine is in a pod on top of the airplane, what do you do about two issues, thrust height, moment pushing down on the nose wheel, and tail configuration. So we lowered the engine as much as we could, following the shape of the fuselage, that's what puts it at this nose-up angle, and then vector the thrust to get a low thrust line closer to the center of gravity of the airplane. And then the tail complexity is, how do you get that exhaust past a tail? And the V-tail is just a natural conclusion that you come to, and was clearly derived after the decision about the engine, where we looked at a lot of choices, said this makes most sense for an engine. Now what tail should we put on it? And it's a V-tail.
How pleased are insurance companies and the FAA going to be with what they've seen? Or have they even seen it yet?
They have not seen it yet. We think that they will be very pleased with it. When you think of both FAA and insurance companies' kind of primary mission, it's all about safety. How do you make an airplane that is easy to operate and is safe to operate? And that's our goal as well. So when we have talked to insurance companies about it, we've described to them the path that we will use to make sure that pilots are properly trained. A lot of that has to do with commonality to the SR-22. The other half of the equation is very much the design of the airplane, with low stall speeds, low approach speed, easy handling, good visibility, simple systems. You know, you just don't have the kind of complexity where things can go wrong and distract a pilot. So when you combine all that together, we really do think we're going to have an airplane that both insurance companies and the FAA will feel very comfortable with.
You've created some challenges with the design. The two great big barn doors, one on each side. How's that going to challenge you for pressurization?
Yeah, actually the doors aren't that big. We had looked at trying to do a wider door, and because we felt the visibility was very, very important with the window size, that kind of narrowed down to what we could do with the door. Someone else asked me the question about, was I worried about the second door? And my answer was no, I'm worried about the first door. Pressurized doors are obviously a challenge. They're a weight, cost, design issue. They're a maintenance issue for the customer. But we feel that the trade-off is fairly reasonable, that once we finalize the proper door design, closing, sealing, and so on, that putting the second one in isn't that big a deal. You're required by regulation to have an emergency exit on the other side anyway. So either way, you're going to have a second door on that side. We just made it big enough to actually use. The second door will also be a maintenance issue to the extent that seals, pressurization, and that sort of thing is a maintenance issue. You'll have twice as much maintenance. But we believe that that's outweighed positively by the ease of entry. You know, in our airplane, basically everybody goes through the door directly to their seat. There is no bent over, moving down an aisle, climbing between seats to get to the main seats in the airplane.
Now you've put an engine where a parachute normally goes. Parachute's in the nose.
You're right. So instead we've put the parachute where the engine normally goes. Right. Again, if you think back to our concept of simplicity, a lot of that has to do with center gravity management. And by putting the parachute in the nose to fixed weight instead of baggage, you limit the movement of the CG. It's just easier for the pilots. There's less change in handling qualities of the airplane.
Certainly going to make pulling that handle even more memorable.
Yeah, you'll have a better view of it. There will certainly be issues about debris from the rocket and so on through the engine, but I don't think that if you've pulled the parachute, your biggest concern is the maintenance of the engine. You know, you're saving your life when you pull the parachute.
The panel, avionics. The scuttlebutt is that you're not stuck on Avidyne and that you're shopping and that maybe L3 is in the running.
Well, as you could see from the mock-up, we believe in a very simple panel with minimal buttons and displays on it. It's all voice-activated, in fact. You say, take me home, and the airplane does. More seriously, yes, we're in the fortunate position of having a lot of choices on avionics. Basically, we get to see almost everything that people are working on at an early level. And we have a lot of people that are very interested in working with us on this airplane. We're very happy with Avidyne. We think that they've pioneered the way. They are extraordinary when it comes to user-friendly design. But obviously everybody else is looking at the advantages of Avidyne and saying, how can we do that too? So L3 is somebody that we've worked with for a long time. We continue to talk to Garmin, and obviously have a lot of Garmin avionics in the airplane, as well as others. I mean, one of the great things about aviation at this point is that we have a lot of choices, a lot of new technology coming at us, all of which bring some pretty good value to the customer.
It would seem natural that Oshkosh would be your next stop, but it's not.
Yeah, I would love to have the airplane at Oshkosh. Obviously, that's our kind of sentimental home. We grew up as home builders and love Oshkosh. But we don't feel the mock-up is far enough along to be really displaying it to everybody. So we'll probably have a model there. We'll be talking in a little more detail about the airplane. But the next chance that the public will have to see the airplane up close and personal will be the AOPA convention in Hartford, Connecticut this fall.
Cirrus Designs, Alan Klappmeyer. The world's best website for general aviation news and information is www.afweb.com. 24/7 updates and news alerts, and check out some of the great features available online right now, like Aero Medical, articles about preserving your health and keeping your medical, ATIS, AFWEB's editorial and op-ed pages, plus aviation law, avionics, careers, home builds, insurance, maintenance, places to fly, profiles, safety, sky ridings, the system, training, and used aircraft, just to name a few, and that should keep you busy for a while. Comments on this audio cast welcome at audionews@afweb.com. Today's report was brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. Look for AFWEB's next audio cast on Monday, July 2nd. I'm Mike Blakeney for AFWEB Audio. Thanks for listening.